Now, my next guest on Late Lunch, believe it or not, folks, packed up life in Madrid and moved to Trim in County Meath. I'm delighted to welcome to the show this afternoon Francisco Blasquez and Eva Garcia. You're both very welcome to the show.
Thank you, hello.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for joining me. Well, I suppose the first question, we're going to tell them why you're here in a few moments. But Eva, what possessed you to leave Madrid to come to Trim?
Oh, it's a lovely place.
Do you like Trim?
Yes.
You love living there.
I love it. I really love it.
It's a very good place in order to live. We like it.
But it's you, isn't it? And Francisco, I'm going to tell the listeners, I'm going to call you Paco in the interview. Yes. Because explain to me why Francisco in Spanish is Paco.
It's a kind of a nickname. In Spain, everybody who's called Francisco is called Paco by the rest of the friends and that kind of things.
Well, we're your friends and I'm going to call you Paco, okay, if you don't mind today.
That's the point.
This all began, though, with you many moons ago. You came to Ireland first. When? What year?
Well, the first time I was only 18 and I came in order to learn English, but I went to a factory in Ashbourne and I was working in a company that it was called Union Camp. And then I discovered the Irish culture and I went back to Madrid and I was in love with the culture. So that's something that it was inside of me all of this time. So it was perfect.
What year was that? How long are you? I'm not trying to find out your age.
No, I am 46, so there is no problem with that.
So we're talking about, what, 26, 7 years ago.
Yes.
You came here for the first time.
Close to 30.
Isn't that funny? You came to learn English, but you actually fell in love with the Irish culture.
That is.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
And what was it about it? What got you? Was it the language, the music, the history?
Well, the first time I came, I had no idea there was another language, another culture, you know? Because when you come in order, especially if you come to learn English, then you discover that there's something very different. And at the end, the Irish culture is more similar to the Spanish culture than the English is. So when I was back to Madrid, I tried to learn English in the official school of languages.
Irish.
And the point there was we were only 6, but they are obliged to give the classes because that it is an official school.
Yes.
So the teacher, Pat O'Donnell, he was teaching Irish, but at the same time he was introducing all the legends, all the culture. So that's something that it was getting inside. And
so
it was
you
incredible.
Learned Irish language, the Irish language and the culture in Madrid.
We started doing that.
In a class of six people?
We were only 6.
Yeah. And it all began there for you?
Well, I think that it began before, when I was here. And then the only thing, it was just growing and growing. Mm. And then I discovered that it was just so a wonderful culture that I wanted to do something with that.
Now, 28 years, as I said later, you move here. What happens in the interim? There's an awful lot of water went under the bridge. You stayed in Madrid, and what did you work at, study, qualify in?
I usually work as a computer consultant. I was in a big company doing what I call the grey software. I mean, grey software for companies and all that. But meanwhile, I was developing video games on my own. So one of the things that we did, it was in 2005, we created a technology that it was called VCS. That it was a technology that allowed blind people to move around in 3D virtual environments. So we got an award for that and that kind of things. And we published a game in Spain for blind people. And it was like a Lara Croft game, slower. So it was done in Spanish, in English, in Catalan, in Basque, and in Galician.
And this was a breakthrough, really, because gaming, you need good vision normally to game, but this is for people who are blind or visually impaired.
That is.
And how does it work, Paco?
Through the sound.
Ah.
You can choose which level of view you want to use. You can play with the whole screen, or you can switch off the monitor, and you can play on. But the idea...
So it's audio.
It's just only audio. Mm. But the idea was, there were games for blind people as well. But the point is, if you try to join them, you cannot because your ears are not used to that.
Mm.
So the idea was to create something to integrate the families, to integrate the people who could hear and the people who could not.
I see. So sighted people could play with people who couldn't see.
That's the idea.
Magnificent.
So, all together.
Yeah, integration.
Integration is
the most
important.
Was that a big breakthrough in the whole gaming area?
Well, not really, because at the point is... The big industries, they are looking for money.
Mm.
And at the end, nobody is going to spend more money in something that they don't need.
Yes.
So we went to the Spanish blind organization, that is a very big company there, and they paid for the game. And it was successful in that area.
Yeah.
And the following thing that we wanted to do, it was to do the same for Iran.
Yeah.
And we choose Cuchulainn because we think the Irish mythology is very, it's incredible. It's so big as the Greek or the Egyptians, but the Irish has something more. And it is that the tradition, the music, is still alive. So thinking on a video game, you have not only the vision, you have the audio.
Yeah.
So it was even better than the rest of mythologies.
So your next project was to bring Irish culture, mythology into the gaming world.
It was.
Yes. After the one for people who are blind. And this was your next project. And that's what you're really working on now, is it? This is the latest incarnation of your work.
Yeah, at the beginning, it began in 2007 or 8 in Spain. We started working on the game.
Mm.
And even in 2009, we came to Iran looking for funding. And we got an agreement with Foras Nagerga and TG Kahir. But it was not enough. And then we realized that the big problem could be that we were not an Irish company in that moment. Because in order to give money, it's logical, they give money to the Irish people.
Mm.
So we went back to Spain and we left for a while the project. But about 3 years ago, there was a chance in order to work in Ireland for us.
Exactly.
So we came and we were working for an Irish company that it is called Frisian Partnership until last Christmas. And in that moment, we said, okay, let's go for our project.
The Christmas gone by or Christmas 2012?
No,
2012. The previous one.
A year ago.
So an opportunity came, Eva, for you to come here and work.
Exactly. And it's incredible because my first knowledge in Irish was with Paco, because before that, I didn't know anything about Ireland. And he gave me a new vision about different country, different language, and I didn't know anything about Irish.
Where did you meet him?
Working.
Through work. You met through work.
Yes,
in Madrid.
In Madrid, yes. A lot of years ago.
A few years ago, because you have 3 children now, is that right?
Exactly.
But come on, Eva, how did he convince you to up sticks, as they'd say in this country, and move to Ireland?
Yeah, because always I was looking forward to know different language, different culture, because always I have been living in Madrid and I didn't know anything else.
Mm.
And it was an opportunity for me to discover new culture, new language, new people. And I think for everybody it's a very good experience.
Have you enjoyed it since you've come?
I really
What about your children? What ages are they?
They are very happy here.
What ages are they?
Oh, sorry. They are 14, 12, and 7.
So they're in the very formative ages, really. You know, young teenagers and a younger one as well. Have they settled in here?
Yes.
Perfectly.
The first year was a little bit harder. They started in St. Mary's School in Trim, but they support us very well. And the first year, instead of having Irish, they had English support. And it was very important because now the 3 of them are perfectly integrated, settled. Now they are learning Irish as well, so they go ahead. That's perfect.
So they have Spanish, English and Irish now, the 3 languages.
That's the idea.
And tell me this, back in Spain when they were at school, because you obviously took them out of school to come here, is English taught in Spanish schools?
No. Well, we have English as it is a subject that it is a must.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that you don't go anywhere with that English.
Yes.
In fact, when they arrive, they have the colors, the numbers, and that's all.
Yes.
Grammar.
Yes.
But no, it's not enough to understand.
Of course. Now they've settled in very well in St. Mary's. They've looked after them well in the school. And
yeah, they do. And they teach us English.
Yeah. Yes. So your children are teaching the 2 of you.
They correct us. More in pronunciation, because they have more ears than us.
The point is that we spend the day working, so we talk in Spanish. But the children, they are in school, so their English is much better than our.
Yeah.
So when we try to speak in English with them, they used to correct us to say, hey, that's not right. That's the point. That's perfect. We like that.
I can verify you speak in Spanish because I spoke to you the other day and you were conversing in Spanish, the two of you between yourselves. Had you much English, Ava, before you came to Ireland?
Oh, not at all. I can't talk at all.
Yeah.
I did a test and I got level 4, but I wasn't able to understand at all and to talk. And I'm very happy because I'm improving and I'm learning a lot. And
you're doing very well, I have to tell you that. Yeah. I know she was very nervous about joining us today. You're doing great, honestly. You really are.
And
you're
going to
get better all the time. But no, this is the point. You came here with an opportunity to work for somebody and be employed here. Have you still got work with somebody else or are you working for yourselves?
No, in that moment we created our own company. And Dineaku. And even we are still having collaboration with Frisian Partnership and any other kind of things, because developing video games is not an easy way to live because it needs a lot of money. Needs
I
a lot
can
of
imagine.
Exactly. A long way to develop.
A long way.
Yeah.
For example, this game, the one that we are releasing now, has been doing a production for 4 years. So there is a while that you have no incomes and you have to work for other kind of jobs.
Yes.
So we do other kind of software for other companies.
Yeah, so you have to do that to support yourselves as well as this is your dream. This project is a dream you're pursuing as well with your own company.
That is.
So this game about Cú Chulainn that you have, an Irish mythology, it's almost ready to go, I believe. You're launching it when? This month?
Yes, in the 23rd of January. We have the launch in Croke Park.
Croke Park, Dublin. Where better place to go and launch it?
It is the best one. Yeah. And we have the best man who is going to be the master of ceremonies, who is Micheál O'Muharty.
Micheál O'Muharty, is that? Because I believe he's featured in this game, isn't he? His voice.
Is his voice, yeah. We went
in part of it.
We went looking for important voices for the game. Because for us, perhaps because we did the other game before, it is very important, the voiceover. So we've got the collaboration of Clannad, Kila, and Sharon Shannon, and of course, Micheál O'Muharty. And he's doing... The game is like an adventure in order to discover Ireland, the Irish culture, because the children go discovering different things. And one of the things is legends. And in this case, is the Salmon of Knowledge. And the tale is told in English and in Irish, by him. That's incredible.
Oh, magic.
Yes. We are really lucky.
Yes. How did you get him?
Well, just knocking on cool doors and knocking and knocking and knocking, and at the end, we got it.
You're learning fast, the old Irish thing. It's who you know what I mean? And you can rustle up. Well done to you for getting him. But so the purpose of this game is, in the gaming world, to teach. It's to teach. It's to open up Irish mythology culture to children. Is
more,
that not more
than
that?
Yeah, but more than teaching, just push the Irish. Because it's not a course, it's not a method to learn Irish.
Yes,
no,
yes.
It's only to enjoy, to practice the language and know new things about Irish, Ireland.
And who are you aiming this at? Who do you see as your market? Who's going to be interested in this game?
I think that children from 8 to 12 should be perfect. Because the idea is, you can play the game as a standard game. So it is an adventure game. You have to go gathering coins, solving riddles, and those kind of things. You can do it in English. You can do it in Irish. You can swap both of them, mix them. But if you are in a school and you buy the game, you have the chance to change the content of the game. So a big part of the message that you want to send through the game can be changed. And especially, you know how the Irish is. People from Donegal, they want their own Irish. People from the south. So they can change they can change all the sounds.
You can customize this
everything
to the different dialects of Irish around the country.
That's the point.
Do you see this being in our? Would schools be interested? Do you think this would work well in the school environment?
Yes, because we have been in touch with different teachers, just only to test and all that. And when we talk about the game, the first time they say, "Okay, that's okay," but as far as they know how far they can change the things, they can optimize everything. They think that it is a very powerful tool for all the schools. Because even they can change not only the language, I mean the content. Imagine that they want to use the game in order to teach mathematics. They could.
Yes.
So that's the point that the teacher, they have a very powerful tool in order to aim the children to learn Irish or whatever they want to.
I want to just head and earn a few pounds for the station or euros for the station like yourself. Will you stay with me a few more moments? I have two lovely people with me on Late Lunch this afternoon, Paco Blasquez and Eva Garcia with me, and they are developing a new game called Cú Chulainn's Footsteps, and we're chatting on the show this afternoon. I have to ask you about, coming and living here as well. You mentioned your children are well settled, Eva, in Trim and that as well. Have you built up friends and in the community there?
Yes, we are. We have a lot of friends in the school, parents and other Spanish people living there.
Yeah, there are a lot of people over there. Mm. It's easy. I think the Irish character is very friendly. Easy to get friends here, especially if you are Spanish. If we were English, it could be different. But being Spanish, that's perfect.
We love the Spanish. Do you miss Madrid?
Not really. I miss my parents or my family, my friends, but I'm very happy living here because it's very different kind of life.
Eva, the weather.
Yes.
Come on.
I love this weather. It's,
well, last summer you must have been in your element here.
It's healthy.
Yeah. You like the climate no matter what it brings. Yes, it's mild enough, isn't it, really, here? Yeah.
I spend that time in springtime with hay fever in Madrid, and I feel better here.
Less hay fever.
Yes.
Yeah. But you must have enjoyed the summer. So that was probably like a cool day for you here last year, was it?
And it's very hot in Madrid. It's horrible.
Yeah. So last summer was nice here.
I enjoyed a lot here.
Please, we want summers like that every year, Eva. That's what we want every year.
Please.
Could be perfect.
If we could just get those, it'd be wonderful.
That's a point.
What about the food? You know, you have Spanish food, Spanish culture as well. Do you miss the cooking, or does this woman rustle off nice dinners, or do you do it yourself, Paco?
No, we do it. We do it. The point is, in Ireland, there are very good food. But the point is that it's not cooked the same way that it is in Spain. So every time in Spain we cook as Spaniards, because even the timetables, they are different because the children school, the times in the school and all that. And then something that we don't, for example, Eva, she cannot eat any spicy. And here you have spicy in everything.
Mm.
So that's the way that we have to change the things. But the original, I mean, the food, the meat, the salmon, they are fantastic here. Mm. So the only thing we have to do is just to cook it on the other way.
In the Spanish way.
Exactly. We follow our customs.
Yes. What's your favorite Spanish dish?
I think it could be rice, could be paella. Paella. I know it's typical, but it is. Mm. And there is another one that it is called callos. I don't think it's very popular for everybody, but that's something that I love. And every time I go, I bring some cans with me.
No, I can't let you go without talking to you about football and Madrid. Sure, it's a football mad city, and Real, of course, are the predominant club. But Atletico are doing quite well this year.
Yeah, you said that they are. They had a very good match the other day, and if you see the classification, they are the first for something.
They are the first with Barcelona, and poor Real Madrid at only third this time. Are you Real Madrid supporters?
Yeah, I am, and I think so.
I don't really like football, but if I have to support one, I prefer Real Madrid.
So here's a question. If you had a choice, Atletico Madrid, your big rivals in the city, or Barcelona to win the league if Real don't win it?
No, Atletico, please. I want Atletico to win, please.
Because Barca and Real, that's the big rivalry, isn't it?
They are the big teams there. Mm. Atletico is very big, and sometimes happen that a smaller team, they get enough quality in order to win the Liga. And that's perfect. I think that it is very sane for the rest of the team, especially for the big ones.
Yes.
Because it's not always a matter of money. It could be a matter of motivation, and they feel like a team or whatever. So it is nice that sometimes Atletico or even Rayo Vallecano, who is another team in Madrid, they could have any chance to win. Yeah. That's perfect.
Vallecano are the smallest, though. They'd be the third club, would they, in the city? Yeah.
And there is Getafe as well. It's the fourth.
Yes, so close by, as well. So there's a lot more football around the city. So there you are. They're very magnanimous. They hope that Atletico win it if Real don't win it this year. But back to yourselves and Croke Park, because you're going to the home of Gaelic Games in Ireland launch this business.
That's the special place to do it. I think that it was like magic, you know? It's the best place in order to do something related to Kujulen. I think it wouldn't be any better place to do it. Mm. And with Mihol, he's the voice of Ireland. Oh. So we are delighted with the idea. Yeah. That's perfect.
Yes.
And the application of the game again, beyond Ireland, what's your aim? Do you see this having an international appeal, or do you hope to establish it in this country first?
When we started working, there was an advisor who said, hey, this has an American potential. You can export
in
this.
In America?
Yeah. And we think that it will. But first, we have to focus on Ireland to make it
yes.
working here.
Step and, by step.
Yeah, slowly. And then we are sure that if it is working right here, it could be easy to export it to America yeah. or wherever. And even in other languages. Because now we are supporting the Irish and we are supporting the English. But perhaps, why can we change, for example, the English and put it in Spanish or Chinese? We have a friend who is Chinese. And mm-hmm. we could change the English for the Chinese. Something like that.
So this can go anywhere, really, you're yes. saying to me, you know, but you want to get it right on your back door, as we say, in the doorstep here first, before you move beyond that. Did I see where you actually took on people to work with you? Because you're saying this is a four-year project. You had some work for other people in this as well.
Yeah, at the beginning, in Spain, we went to the official school of languages in order to get support for the Irish. We knew that we had to talk with Forrest Nagegar here, because they are the authority for this. But at the beginning, there were a lot of people involved there, just trying to think on about the Irish culture, what we want. We have a friend there who is so specialist in Irish, that in Irish culture, I mean, that when I asked to her, hey, how they were wearing in that time, she said, which part of Ireland? Because it depends on
where you live.
Yeah, so
different dress.
There was a lot of people supporting there. And in this case, Emily Nialen is the person in Spain who were pushing us in order to come here. She comes from an Irish teacher's family with Princess of Hiding, and they had been teaching Irish for all their life. So these people who has been aiming me in order to go ahead, because they gave me the magic to
yes
to learn where to go and all that. And then, of course, all the technical people for the 3D, the people who is doing the 2D art,
yes,
exactly.
is Enebral, who is a marble drawer,
yes,
and all the music has been done by Eduardo Tarironte, who is a composer.
So the Marvel graphics, you're telling me, somebody from that
is mm-hmm.
has worked on this?
Yes.
I thought you have good people there when you mentioned Marvel.
You have to have the best friends in order to go
So
where
all
I
these
want.
People, so you've created work for other people, that's what I'm saying, through the development of this game.
That's the idea. A big video game company has to go outsourcing
yes.
people. That's the only way. You cannot hire 40 people. Mm. And then when it is finished, what do you do?
Yes, they're gone.
Exactly.
So
yes.
you have to go
outsource, take them on temporary contracts, get them to do a block of work for you, freelance people like that, and you use a lot of those.
That's the idea, because you can promote the local business. Mm. That's important.
Mm. So are you here for the long haul in Ireland? Do you expect that this is where you're going to be for the next while, living and based?
We don't know. Let's happen.
Yes.
Let's see what's happened. And the first idea was to finish this game in order to launch it, to see what it is. Because sometimes I think that all the good things that the Irish culture has given to me, I have to give it back to Ireland. So that's another way to do it. Say,
yes.
okay, let's get it back and then we will see. And if we are happy and, I mean, if we are lucky and the game goes running as we want to, we will have the chance to look for investors to go for another
exactly.
part,
yes.
second part, third part, or whatever. Because I think that the Irish mythology is big enough in order to create the whole portal with many, many legends.
Yeah.
So that's
exactly.
the point.
And it's a new way. It's a new concept of doing this, isn't there? Because you can learn about it through lots of other mediums and that as well. But here it is now in the gaming world. It's called Cú Chulainn's Footsteps, and you are taking the first footsteps with it. I wish you both all the very best. I really hope
it goes
so well for you. You're a lovely couple. I'm delighted to meet you on the show this afternoon.
Thanks to you.
And
hopefully
we'll talk again in the future about the success of this. But for the moment, Francisco Blasquez and Eva Garcia, thank you very much for joining me on the show.
Thanks
thank
to you.
Very
thank
much.
You very much.